want you to listen very carefully. Verse 25 of chapter 21 of John, and there are also many other things which Jesus, look what it said, did, the which they should be written every one. I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. Said amen. Let me read it one more time. And there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which they should be written every one. I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. Amen. What a statement. Let's pray. Father, as we come this morning, it's always a blessing to be able to proclaim your word to your congregation. And I pray this morning that we will listen earnestly about what it was for your son to walk upon the earth before he ascended on high. Share that love with us today. If there's anyone here who does not have a personal relationship with Christ, today will be the day they will come to know him, the Lord and Savior. Thank you. You may be seated. I want to go back for just a minute from last week, and I want to think about this for just a minute. Can you imagine what it must have been like when Mary Magdalene and the rest got to the tomb that day? And all of a sudden, you see the soldiers laying there, passed out like dead men. And all of a sudden, the angel appeared to them and really asked her, why are you here? They're here there to seek the Lord because they want to finish anointing his body. And the angel said, he is not here, he is risen. How they must have felt inside at that moment. And how he was told to go back and tell the disciples and all the rest of what was going on. And as they went to tell the disciples, you know, and they got there, it says that Peter and John, boy, they took off lickety-split, running. There's one statement in the Bible that's very interesting when you read it. Is the fact it says that John, he made it really plain that John outran Peter, amen. But when John got to the tomb, he wasn't like Peter. John got there and he just glanced in. And you know Peter, he was bold, boy. He got there and he ran right on in through the doorway, you know, and right on in to see what was going on. That was Peter, Mr. Johnny on the spot. And when I think about that for just a minute, how many of us in this room today would have went to the tomb that day and actually just looked in or walked in? I just saw the men laying there and decided it's time for me to leave. You see, what's important here is this. Jesus rose from the dead. We serve a living Savior. And when they left that tomb that day, as they went their way, and they arrived back at their destination, the excitement they must have had inside of them to know that they had seen the risen Savior. But when they went back and Peter and John and the rest of them showed up, there's one thing that's important here, is Peter and John went their way. It's the fact that Mary and them were there, and all of a sudden an individual showed up, and who was it? It was the Lord Jesus Christ. And when Christ showed up, they thought he was a gardener or somebody, you know? He must have really changed his appearance at that time. But see, by doing that, he finally said a few words to them, and they looked at him and said, Rabboni, Master, Peter. They knew instantly who he was and how lives had been changed so much by the love that he had for them. Today, as we have come, I want you to see what Christ really did. It's a shame where he came into the city on Palm Sunday last week. We talked about it the week before that. How they praised and glorified his name. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. A few days later, they rejected him, looked down at him, spat upon him, beat him, took him to the cross, hung him on that cross, my friends, and watched him die on that cross. The soldiers would say, and the rest of them would say, he who can save others cannot even save himself. I wonder what Jesus must have felt about that time. Because I know if it had been me up there and I could have come off that cross, guess what? It would have been havoc in the town that day. People would have been running and hiding from me. Because I would have been doing all kinds of things to get their attention. But what did Jesus do? Jesus took the sins of mankind and put his shoulders to give us life. And he gave us an abundant life that maybe we really don't understand. If I can say Christ lives in me, what does that really mean? Anybody can say that. Anybody can say, yeah, I know Christ. He was a good person. He did a lot of good works, you know. But really, who was Christ? Christ is the living Savior that has given you a living and abundant life. That's what Christ did. He died to save you from your sin, to help you realize where you are today. If we don't grasp the concept of who Christ is, there's no sense in being in the church service today. Because without the Holy Spirit living in us, what would we have? Absolutely nothing. We wouldn't have joy. We wouldn't have peace that passes all understanding. We wouldn't have love for one another. We wouldn't have a relationship with Christ. We wouldn't have a relationship with God. What would we have? I always like to go back and look at the Garden of Eden and Adam and Eve. And, you know, when Adam was walking in the cool of the day and God spoke with him, God spent time with him. Then all of a sudden, this is what God said. It's not good that man should live alone. Isn't that right? Amen. Amen, ladies. Huh? That's where you come on the scene after that, right? That's right. You've been running us ever since. Amen. Telling us what to do, how to do it, where to do it. Okay. All right. But that's what God created you for. Because he said this in the Bible. It says man needed a helpmeet, M-E-E-T it says, instead of mate. And you have to help us, to work with us, to travel with us, tell us things, you know. When you do something wrong, you get corrected, don't you? Yeah. Well, what happened today when Adam and Eve were walking in the garden, right, and all of a sudden the devil was there, and he said, how would you like to have this fruit we got in our hand here? And all of a sudden that love they had for God somehow diminished a little bit, a whole lot, really. And then all of a sudden what happened? It says Eve took the fruit, ate it, and gave it to her husband who was standing right there with him. And they both sinned against God. And sin came into the world. Then it says in Genesis 3:15, it says that he would come into the world, that he would bruise his heel with the serpent's head. And do we know that he came? After 400 years of Malachi, it says he came in Matthew. Came as a small child, lived on the earth, was in the synagogue at the age of 12. He was preaching to the priests there, telling them all about God the Father, about his loving father that he served. Then after he was caught by his parents, he never heard anything for 18 years. Amen. I told somebody one time he was on a house arrest. That was a long time. But then after the 30-year mark, what did he do? He came to Galilee. He started to preach and teach. He went about around the cities and all, preaching about his father in heaven, preaching about the resurrection, about one who had come, the Messiah himself, and how the Jews still rejected Jesus Christ. And even when he went to the cross of Calvary, they had a tendency to do one thing. They still rejected him on the cross. Loving him at one time, because as long as they were being healed and taken care of, as long as they were bonding together with him, everything was hunky-dory. But as soon as the priests and the Sadducees and all the rest of these people got together and started to condemn him and being blasphemous individual, what happened? The people turned their back on him. Amen. They walked away from him. They hollered, crucify him. And they crucified him on that cross. And a criminal by the name of Barabbas was set free. And when Barabbas was set free, here was somebody that deserved to go to that cross of Calvary. He deserved that. Why? Because he himself was a murderer. But what happened to Jesus? He went to Calvary. He went to Golgotha, they call it, the hill of the skull, and gave his life in the place of a criminal. And on that day, as he hung on that cross, can you picture what was going on? Can you picture right now in your mind what was going on at that moment? The two thieves, one on each side. There they were. If you go back and study just a little bit in the Bible in Matthew and some of the other chapters, you'll find out that both of the criminals railed on him. Wasn't just one. They were saying all kind of obscenities to him. They were cursing him, mocking him, making fun of him. And all of a sudden, I guess that one that was on the other side finally dawned on him, this man is different. Because he said, we deserve what we get. But this man is good. And all of a sudden, when he looked at the Lord, he said this, Lord, remember me. And the Lord could have looked at him and said, yeah, I'm going to remember you when you're in hell burning. But what did he say to him? This day, thou shalt be with me in paradise. Now, can you imagine the feeling he must have had when he left and the Lord left when they died? They went together and got there together. And all of a sudden, the other man died and went straight to the portals of hell. And he had the same opportunity. What happened to the other thief? He realized he was a sinner. to realize the state of mind he was in. And he knew what he needed. And he needed Christ in his life. You see, everybody in this room needs Christ. Everybody needs to make a personal stand with him and to build a relationship with him. Now, after all this happened and Jesus went to the tomb, he came out of the tomb, and he walked upon the earth for 40 days. But what did Jesus really, really do for 40 days? You think he played tiddlywinks or something? You think that he hopscotched down the road? You think that he just sat back and laughed and said, ah, look at these fools. I'm here. How would you have reacted to see Jesus up there? What would have been inside of you? What kind of feeling would you have? Well, I know what kind of feeling I have because the Spirit lives in me. When the Spirit came to live in me, I know what I felt inside. I know how I feel today when I think about it. How much love God had for me to send his beloved Son. If you look with me to chapter 20, listen to this very carefully, starting in verse 11. Mary stood without the sceptre of weeping. She wept, she stepped down, it says, and looked into the sceptre. Verse 12. And see if the two angels in white sitting, one at the head, the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had laid. And they said unto her, woman, why weepest thou? She said unto them, because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have taken him or laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. Now, you know, seeing Jesus all these years, and all of a sudden, it's like, you know, who are you? Who's that individual that's standing there? And Jesus said unto her, woman, why weepest thou? Who seeketh thou? She supposed him to be the gardener, and said to him, sir, if thou have what? Bore him hence, or taken him away. Tell me where thou hast laid him. I will take him away. Jesus said unto Mary. She turned and said unto him, Rabboni, which is to say master. And Jesus said unto her, touch me not. Touch me not. For I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren. And say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, to my God and to your God. And Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord, that he had spoken these things to her. And then it talks about the rest of what's going to happen within that scenario. It's still Sunday at this time. And finally, Jesus, as he made his way, you know, on the Emmaus Road, and he saw the two individuals that did not recognize him. He also had a meal with them, and then he vanished away. Then that night, he was seen in the upper room. He just appeared all of a sudden. Can you imagine the disciples about that time, what they must have been feeling? Here is one that had showed up on the scene, and it was Jesus. And there were 10 of them at that time, and they sat there, and they talked with and communed with him, and Thomas wasn't there. He was gone. So they went to look for Thomas. They couldn't find Thomas. And Thomas made a very interesting statement. He said this, I will not believe until I see his prints in his hand. Take my hand in his side. You know, a lot of us are doubters, aren't we, just like Thomas was. What does it take for us to feel Christ? What does it take for us to know Christ? To fall on our face and ask forgiveness of our sins, that's what it takes. To get our lives turned around and drawn back to the center of Jesus. We come in here on Sunday and we say to ourselves, yes, I'm a born-again believer. But how much of that do you really believe? Do you really have a personal relationship? Or do you have a head knowledge of Jesus Christ and nothing else? You see, a head knowledge will send you to hell. It's a heart-changing experience to get to heaven. But we don't like to hear that. What was happening in the upper room? Judas Iscariot, you know, he was already gone. He hung himself. It's all over. Then a week goes by, it says Jesus vanished, and a week goes by, and there's seven out there just doing their thing, fishing. I like this part. How would you like to be fishing, you fishermen here? And I know sometimes, you know, if you go out and you're fishing, right, you don't find fish, you have to keep searching until you find them. Isn't that right, Jeffrey? You keep looking, you ain't coming in until you find a fish. Here they fished all night long, right in that boat, bouncing around. And all of a sudden, Jesus shows up. They didn't know who it was at first. What did he tell them? Fish on the other side. Go to the other side. It says when they got to the other side, now this would get you, you know. I could have went on this side of the boat. You ever been fishing, all of a sudden nothing over here, and everybody catching on that side, so you switch? You ever done that? Because you want to catch a fish? Then they all switch and catch it over there, and you're still not catching anything. Amen. Jesus said, shift to the other side. He said there were so many fish, they couldn't even bring the nets in. Because they came to shore, and what did they do? They came and sat down and have a meal of fish. They ate fish. It's amazing what Christ can do. Then finally, when the upper room came again, right, Jesus showed up again on the scene. All 11 were there. What did he tell Thomas? See? Do you see, Thomas? Do you believe me, Thomas? He said, look, Thomas, he said, take your finger, stick it right there. Stick it right there, Julie. Well, put it right there. Do you feel it? Do you feel it? Do you see it? Then he pulls himself up and he goes, here's my side. Stick your hand in there, Thomas. Do you feel it, Thomas? Thomas, do you believe? What do you do? He said, yes, Lord, I believe. He said, a lot of times he has to see every little thing to believe every little thing. But it's by faith to believe that Christ came, lived, died, and rose again to come to him. It's by faith we do what we do. It's by faith that we live our lives according to God's word. Because we know by faith that all things happen. We didn't have faith, what would we have? What would we have? Nothing. It takes faith, a strong person of faith, to believe that Christ came, lived, died, and rose. But see, the world we live in doesn't believe that. Because we've got to touch it. Taste it, we gotta smell it, we gotta hear it, we gotta see it. We gotta have all our senses work. When it comes to faith, believing in something you have not seen, that's hard, isn't it? Very hard. I was listening to Dr. Merritt this morning. He had a very good statement. I mean, y'all listen to him on Sunday, but I do. And he made this statement about faith. How many of y'all buy things online? Go ahead, raise your hand. Okay, all right, all of us do. Okay. You buy something, you go in and you've done enough of it, you already got your name in the system, you hit a button, your name pops up, it pops up. And you go over and you put your little credit card thing in there, you know, and you order. Do you have it in your hand when you order? Aren't you reaching out and being faithful and saying, I believe I'm going to get it? If so many days later it says it'll be there in 3 days and you don't have it, what happens? You run to the mailbox every day to try to find it. You see, that's how we live our lives today. The fact is, you don't think about it that way. Faith in the things that we do. Faith in reaching out. Faith in helping others. Faith when you sign that little thing and you send it all through the airways, right? You got faith that's coming in sometimes. See, where's that faith at today? Now, faith is not on the credit card, my friend, or what you order online. Your faith should be in Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior. That's faith. True faith in believing what God has done for us. He says in this verse here also, in verse 19, he said this, the same day and evening being the first day of the week, he said, when the doors were shut, the disciples assembled for fear of the Jews, it says, and came and stood in the midst, and said, peace be unto you. That's a good word, isn't it? Peace be unto you. Don't be afraid. Don't get excited. I'm here. Okay? You know what's really interesting about this whole story? I didn't mention this, but I'm going to. Mary Magdalene ran back to find Peter, James, and all the rest of them, right? It says in the Bible, and I'll go back, I'll pull it up for you. It said this. They were in a hiding place. My question is this. If you're in a hiding place, how come everybody knew where you were at in the first place? Huh? Wasn't a very good hiding place, was it? But they were hiding out because they were afraid of the Jews, what was going to happen to them. Because they knew that their neck was on the chopping block, too. They knew something was going to happen. But when Christ came, he said, peace be unto you. When I got saved, I remember reading in the Bible where it says, peace I give to you, peace I leave with you. He gives me peace inside because of what he's done for me. He gives me peace inside because he has given me a new life, a new beginning, and a new way. And there's always a better day to come. Could you imagine what it must have been like that day? Can you imagine what it must have been like? When old Peter was there, you know, talking to the Lord. Wonder what he was saying to him. You remember Jesus got him off to the side? And I can imagine he said, Peter. I can visualize in my mind right now what he was telling him. You know, Peter, you this. You remember what he told him one time? Peter, do you love me? Feed my sheep. Peter, do you love me? He told him to feed his sheep again. But Lord, you know I love you, you know. And all of a sudden he said, Peter, do you love me? He said, feed my lamb. About that time, he was getting a little upset. You want to know why? Because he didn't think, you know, the Lord must have hurt him the first two times. He said, Lord, you know that I love you. Call him again. The question is, do we really love God that much? Do we love him enough to reach out to those around us and to share the relationship you have with somebody else? He said, do you love him? How much do you love the Lord tonight or this morning? His disciples loved him to a point. They loved him as he was doing things. They loved him as they walked along the highway with him. They loved him the whole time until right up to the time of Calvary. What happened to the love relationship? They became frightful individuals. Oh, yes, they still had some love for him. But they were more afraid of what was going to happen to them at that moment than what was going to happen to Christ. Peter denied him three times. They ran and hid. Shame. A Jewish girl that came, you know, and said to old Peter, hey, you're one of those. You're one of those. It'd be like Riley and I standing in a crowd, right? And I'm next to Riley, and she runs up there and says, hey, you're one of those. And old Riley look over and go, not me, I don't even think what you're talking about. You know? This is what happened. How many of us in this room, if somebody came up and said, you're one of those Christians, you know? Guess what? You're going to die because you're a Christian. You know, what would you tell them? Not me, Bob. I ain't going. You know, what are you talking about? Never heard of him in my life. Peter cursed a little bit. Peter denied. Peter walked away and he wept. Why? Because he's the one that stood there and told the Lord, Lord, I'll go with you all the way to Calvary. When he got time to go to Calvary, where did Peter go? He went the opposite way, didn't he? How many of us would have went to Calvary or went the opposite way? Not in that situation, are we? We're not confronted with that situation, are we? What if we were, what would you be? Our human nature is to do what? Turn and go the other way when someone's in trouble. Turn and go the other way. That's what happened. Christ, he didn't turn around and go back the other way. What did Christ do? Christ went all the way down to the gospel to do what? Die on the cross. He went all the way there to give us a new life and a new beginning. And all those disciples, every one of them that were left, went away and hid out there. But aren't you glad they served, we serve a Savior that was willing to come back to confront them? Down here. We established his supper that we talked about last week and in our Sunday school this morning. He established that so he would never, ever forget his death, burial, and resurrection. This is what Christ has done for us. But he did a whole lot more than just walk down a highway, my friend. Because I want to give you a few things this morning. Maybe you want to write a few of them down. What Christ did. The final revelation that he gave, if you'll turn with me back to Matthew 28. He left this message for the whole world to live by. Because in Matthew 28, 18 and 20, the final thing that he told his disciples before he departed, the same thing he tells us. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you. See that one word after that? What's it say? Always. Till the end of the world. Amen. You see what he says here? He said, you go. You tell. You teach. You lead. You direct. You baptize. You do this and you do that. And he said, I will be with you. Why? Because he said, I'd never leave you. after that, he made a few other appearances. But what did Jesus really do in 40 days after all of that introduction? I'll get to the sermon. Number one, he met Mary Magdalene at the tomb. John 20. The second thing was, he talked to the other women too that were returning to the tomb. Matthew 28:19. He talked to Peter in Luke 24:34. 1 Corinthians 15:5. He talked also to the disciples on the Emmaus Road. Luke 24:13-31. He talked to the ten disciples in Mark 16:4. He talked to the 11 disciples a week later after the resurrection in John 20. Just 26 at the end of the chapter. He also did something else. He also talked to the seven that were fishing by the Sea of Galilee. John 21:1-24. He appeared to 500. Corinthians 15:6. He also appeared to James, the Lord's brother. 1 Corinthians 15:7. To the 11 again on the mountain, it says in Galilee. Matthew 28:16-20. And David last people. Go ye therefore. At the ascension, Acts chapter 1, verses 3-9. To Stephen. At his stoning, Acts 7:55-56. He also talked to Paul on the Damascus Road, Acts 9:36. He also talked to Paul in Arabia, Galatians 1:12-17. He talked to Paul in the temple, in Acts 9:26-27. To Paul in prison, Caesarea, in Acts 23:11. To the Apostle John, Revelation chapter 1:12-20. These are just a few of the things that Christ did talking to individuals during this time. But there's a whole lot more if you go back and study, you pick up a whole lot more. But why did he make his appearance? Because he wanted to let them understand one thing. I'm alive. I'm alive. So what can I really tell you this morning? See, as Jesus made one final plea to the world, to his disciples. There's only a few words that I can leave you with this morning, and maybe help you out. Where he said, go ye therefore. Go. Tell others that I'm alive, that I'm well, I've ascended above. But I'm coming again one day. You see, as Christians, we have to believe by faith that everything this Bible teaches us is true from the beginning to the end. We're not to miss one word of it. And don't take it for granted. Because this truth lies right here in our hearts. And we are to be committed, dedicated, and sold out. Are you born again? Do you know Christ? Or do you have a personal relationship with Him? Let me ask you a few questions and I'll close. Number one, are you a believer? First time. But you didn't go. Did you do that? Or didn't go? Are you a believer? Have you accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior? And the next question is, are you ready today? Are you ready to have Christ in your life today? Then I added something to all of this, which I think really stood out to me. If not, what's holding you back? Y-O-U. You are. You are. You're holding yourself back because you will not surrender to Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior. How long will God deal with you until he gets tired of dealing? Many people have rejected him, and many people have walked away, and many have died and gone straight to hell. Reality. Every one of us in this room, you only have two places you're going to go when you die. It's heaven or hell. And there's nothing in between. In hell, the rich man lifted up his eyes and saw Lazarus at his hand's foot. And you saw him over there, he says, "Oh, Abraham, send that fellow to me. Oh, just tell him just to take a little bit of water. Oh, just take that little bit of water like that. Look at that. Just that little bit of drip right there. You see that little bit of water? Can you see it back there? Ain't much, is it? Just touch my tongue. Quench my thirst." Abraham said this. In your lifetime, everything was good for you. Lazarus had nothing. But he said, now it's turned. You're in torment over here. Lazarus is in the bosom of Abraham. He's in God's hand. And everything is good. Even though Lazarus may have suffered on this earth, today, from the day he died, he is rejoicing to be in the loving arms of Jesus Christ. What about the rich man? Guess what? He doesn't rejoice with us. He's in torment from the day he died and went to hell. And when that final judgment, and he's thrown in a lake of fire and brimstone through all eternity, the only thing he's going to remember is how he treated Lazarus. What's the last thing you're going to remember when you leave this life? Are you going to be living in the loving arms of Jesus? Are you going to be in hell thinking about what you could have had that you will never have? Because you rejected. My friend, it's in your ballpark. I'm not sure. Jesus did everything he could to do in this. He did everything in the 40 days he walked upon the earth. When he comes again, my friend, the question is, are you going or are you staying? I pray you are.